Father, I am grateful for this gift of this day. It is more than I deserve. I'm reminded, as I've been sick all week long, how often I take health for granted. That's a gift of grace, Lord, that I do not deserve. For your people, and to bring your word to your people, we ask, Father, that as I speak these words, that you would be in our midst, that these would be your words to us all. And Father, we understand we need these words from you. We are grateful that you have given such specific and special revelation, equipment for life, Lord. You've shown us a way, the best way to live. We pray that today we would have ears that would be willing to receive these words from you and hearts that would respond in obedience, that our lives would display the gospel and adorn the beauty of what we have been given in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus chapter 2, let me begin in verse 1 and I'll read through verse 5 so that we have the context for this. Paul writes to Titus, "As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." Those are the words in the verses that we will be studying today. And it brings us really to the topic of biblical womanhood. What does it mean to be a woman and follow the teachings of Scripture? What does a life look like of a woman who has been captured by the grace of God, defined by the cross of Christ, and then desires to obey the teachings of the Scriptures? And it's amazing to me how specific God has been for women in these things, and for men in the weeks ahead and behind this. Special revelation is a gift. This is a gift to us from God. It's grace for us. We need these words. And so biblical womanhood. Now, this topic I don't walk lightly into. I am a man. I am not a woman. But I have been called by God to shepherd also the women of our church, just like Titus was called to teach and preach these things to the women who were in the churches of Crete. As Paul gave him these words, so today I bring these words to the women of our church, the older women and the younger women. And men, just in case you think you're off the hook, you keep listening. We'll get to you guys at the end. So let's consider biblical womanhood a little bit. We've got popular opinion nowadays, or our culture. We cannot help but be shaped by the culture in which we live. When you turn on your TV, when you go to Starbucks, when you open your eyes in this world, you are drenched in a culture that is it's anti-truth. Anti-Bible truth, at least. And the feminist movement has had a huge say in what does it mean to be a woman in our day, the life and times of American culture. Popular opinion has a lot to say about womanhood in our day. We have to be aware of this, be tuned in to the shaping influences that are all around us. And we can't help but be affected by those in some way or another. Now, personal opinion as well shapes it. We have our own minds. We have our own experiences. And so when it comes to the topic of what does it mean to be a man and follow God, what does it mean to be a woman and follow God, we have things that we think, personal opinions. Now, some of these are great. Some of these are not. Same would be true of popular opinion. There's some good things in the popular opinion, and there's some very not good things. That would be bad things. But third, and this is the most important point in the list, Bible teaching. Bible teaching. We surrender personal opinion to Bible teaching. That comes to us with authority. When the Scriptures address specific behavior and topics like this, we tuck under. We submit our understanding to Bible understanding. We make our opinion Bible opinion. Popular opinion holds no water to Bible teaching. And so, I would suggest that as a church, we will stand out if we truly wrestle with these truths and commands that are being taught in these verses, because they don't square with popular opinion, and they might not even square with your personal opinion of these things. But I encourage us all today, submit our will collectively to Bible teaching. That's the best way. It's God's opinion that counts. Secondly, I think it's important as we go into these verses to note the difference between suggestion and command. Okay? I heard someone recently, in speaking of these verses, give kind of this idea, well, you know, it might be a good idea, maybe if you think it would work well for you, to maybe consider something of this nature. That would be called suggestion. What we have in this text is not suggestion. Women especially, these are commands. These are commands. They don't come with, if you feel like it, or if that's how you were raised, or if you're having that kind of day. They come as either you obey it and you honor God, or you disobey it and you dishonor God. They come as commands. Come as commands. It's obvious, but we have to remind ourselves of this often. We can justify commands and write them off left and right if we're not careful. Okay, so suggestion or command, these come as commands to us. Older women in these verses. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be, there's the command, are to be. And so, here is Paul writing to Titus, writing to the older women, okay? Paul, Titus, you need to teach and preach to the older women to be, boom, 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 okay? Now, on your notes, this is going to be very helpful. Take notes on this sermon because there's 4 points for each, and at the end we're going to look back over these things. So, older women, first question we need to ask, just as we asked with the old. How old? Just so I know where I stand on this, right? We need to know. What the context gives us, at least in these verses, is I believe this would be women who are beyond childbearing years, potentially even who have their children raised. So fill in the gap. I don't like talking at all about women's age, and I won't. But you decide. Beyond childbearing years, potentially beyond the raising of the children. Older women, that's kind of the category in view. Those who have experience in these things are to be, the older women are to be. Number one, reverent in behavior. Older women are to be reverent in behavior. Now, the word used here is a is one word that captures all kinds of meaning. And so I did my best to research it out. It basically boils down to this. Reverent in behavior would be that which accords with holiness, or that which is appropriate to holiness. It calls back kind of a priestly connotation. The priest would be keenly aware that he had given himself to holiness because he was in the service of God. So, reverent in behavior, or a life that would be reverent to the Lord, lived, expressed reverently to holiness, the holiness of God. Called this verse to mind for me as I thought about it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." That, I think, maybe captures some of what he's saying. Look, women, older women, make sure you realize you're not your own. You are not your own. You belong to God. So let your life be an expression of reverence to Him. Live in such a way that it accords with holiness and uprightness. You are not your own. You were purchased with a price, the infinite cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. Okay? So, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior. Reverent in behavior. Number two, one of the things that reverent in behavior isn't is slanderous. So he gives us a couple negatives here. This is what it's not looking like to live reverently. One is not slanderers. And again, the Greek here is insanely strong. When Paul writes this word, it can be translated in the New American Standard to malicious gossips. It can also be translated as a title for Satan himself, the liar, diabolon. Okay, this is a majorly strong word that Paul uses. Older women are to be on their guard, to be reverent in behavior, and not malicious gossips or slanderers. Now, Paul must have known in the context of what he was writing there on the island of Crete that there were some women who were up in years who had a problem with this. He very specifically, of all the things he could have said, he said this quite specifically to Titus: you need to warn and encourage and preach and teach to the older women in your church not to be malicious gossips. Okay? So, I don't know the context of fully what was going on, but this kind of behavior, I do know, can shred a church. It can tear a church to pieces. Slander and gossip. Have nothing to do with this, older women, the Word of God says. You might have heard this. Phone rings. Email. Hey, it's so-and-so. Will you just excuse me? I just need to vent a little. You wouldn't believe what my husband did. Whew, there it goes. Bam, shredding, tearing down. You wouldn't believe what I just heard about so-and-so. Have you been there? Older women, have you been there? I just need to vent a little, okay? That's another way of saying, excuse my sin. Here it comes. I'm about to sin. Here we go. If you hear that, just instantly shut it down. Whoa, hold on. Let's hold up a second. Before you vent, let's talk about this. Is this what accords with holiness? Is this reverent behavior? Is this going to edify and build or tear down and destroy? If you feel the urge to do this, or if you're on the receiving end of this, the answer is the same. Have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. Don't participate. Don't hear it. And don't speak it. Slander, malicious gossip. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Every word. Now, I know how hard this is at times. As Christians, the bar is high. It is high. And not everybody has to live by the bar the Christians have to live by. Am I right? You turn the TV on and they just let it rip. And it seems so freeing, right? They just shred them. And that can seem kind of appealing at times. But that is not acceptable. It is not reverent in behavior. And the Lord is quite clear. We will give an account for every word. So catch it before it goes. Hold them. Bite your tongue. Cover your mouth before you sin. How about this one? I'm just here to listen. Honey, I'm just here to listen. Go ahead. Let it out. Okay? Just bring a fishing pole. What's the latest? Oh, you heard what? Tell me more. Okay, again, this is the challenge. And I would suggest in churches, this can be even more of a challenge maybe than other places. You know, let's go to lunch and you can just let it all out. Or have you heard anything recently? What's the latest? I don't know. All I do know is that there are fishermen, or let's say sometimes fisherwomen, who will seek to give you ample opportunity to sin with your tongue, to sin in slander, to sin in malicious gossip. And they're participating and inviting opportunity for this. This is something the scriptures call out as sinful and they warn us against. It'll kill a church. It'll kill a church. Proverbs says this, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Where there's no whisperer, take the wood out of the fire. Be the one. Older women, set the example. Honey, no. Hold on now. Hold on. I don't want to participate with that. You're talking to the wrong person here. That's not a good idea. Let's just close this down. Take the wood out of the fire, and the quarreling will cease. It's an important thing. Reverent in behavior, not slanderers. Not slanderers. Boy, Paul's writing pretty direct words, isn't he? He's writing specific things. And this is convicting for us all, is it not? Number three, he writes, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or malicious gossips, or slaves to much wine." Slaves to much wine. This was another problem on the island of Crete. I believe that Paul was specifically addressing and calling out. There was probably a culture that was a bit, shall we say, what's the word? Depraved? A legacy? I mean, Cretans were known worldwide for their depravity. Therefore, there would be kind of a natural instinct at a certain age to try to wash it all away. All the pain, all the baggage, all the junk from all the years just kind of stacks up. And you turn to substance to try to numb the pain. This was a problem in these churches. And Paul writes to Titus, older women are to not be slaves to much wine. Don't be drunk is a straightforward way to say it. Don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. That one kind of states itself. And then he moves on. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women. Okay, we'll stop right there. We'll get into the content of that training. But the fourth thing the older women are called to do is to teach what is good and train the young women in the things that we're going to look at. That's a command from Scripture to the older women. That's an important thing to recognize here. This, for Christian women, biblical womanhood includes an active participation in teaching what is good and training younger women into things that he's going to list. So, older women, are you actively doing this in your life? What does this look like? How can this grow in you? What would it take to be more intentional in these things for the younger women in our church? Teach what is good. Are you teaching with your life? Reverent in behavior. Teaching what is good and training the younger women. Now the word train here is another incredible word. It translates encourage or bring up, raise up. Train, encourage the younger women in these things. Okay? So now we're going to transition from older women to younger women. Younger women. Now, the younger women, in this context at least, are those who are newlyweds or about to be married, or who are newlyweds and married and have children who are in the home. Now, this is not saying that every woman is to marry. Okay? We know that Paul writes elsewhere, Singleness is a gift, and it can be a great thing for the Lord. So this isn't supposed to be a comprehensive blanket statement. But in this context, he is addressing older women who have walked through these things to shape and train the younger women who are currently walking through these things, marriage and parenting and this and that. So older women want you to teach what is good and so train the young women to, number one, love their husbands and children. And everyone said, well, yeah. I mean, that's obvious, right? Why would Paul say that? Isn't that fairly without saying? I mean, they're married and they're their kids, so love is assumed. What's he saying here? Well, the word love that he chooses to use, that's where we find this thing getting legs and walking right into our church. Love your husbands and your children. Younger women, you need to be encouraged and trained and discipled and mentored in this kind of love for your husbands and your children. What kind of love? Well, it's not the agape love that we tend to think of. It's the philo, or philandros is the word as it's translated here. It's a committed, willing, determined love that displays deep and strong friendship. You've heard of philanthropy. This is where it comes from. The root of that word is philandros. It's a love that sometimes pushes through even when it's not easy. A love that gives even though it's not warranted. Teach the younger women to love in this way, with a determined love, committed and willing love, their husbands. Some have even understood this as teach them to like their husbands. That's a fascinating angle on it. Have you ever heard, well, I love him, I just don't like him very much? That doesn't work for Paul. It doesn't work for Titus as he is to train and the older women to train the younger women. You are called to love and like and serve and give and commit and follow through and be good friends with your husband and your children. You might think of it this way, unconditional love. We use this all the time, this idea of unconditional love. But when you really stop and think about what are we really saying, does our culture have any understanding of unconditional love? When the marriage vow now is said something like, rather than as long as we both shall live, it's as long as we love each other. Oh, that's a commitment. That's interesting. Older women, encourage the younger women to love their husbands unconditionally. Love them. Like them. Serve them in this way. Children, love them. Like, even when it's the 47th diaper of the night. Older women, encourage the younger women. You can do it. Don't quit. This too shall soon pass. There is light at the end of the tunnel, even though the diapers are stacked a mile high. Do you see that? It's not just like the older women drop in once a year. Hey, how you doing? Good job. Keep it up. It's in the middle of the night, calling someone up. I'm so worn out. I don't know what to do. Hang in there, honey. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it. Let me pray for you. Can I come and help? Do you see that? Older women serve and teach and encourage the younger women in this way. Younger women, invite this from the older women. Request it. Bring them into this work. Now, when we're talking about marriage, love him, love them, love him, love them, again and again and again, the older women say to the younger women, love him, love him, love them. Love him, love them. What this is not is, honey, why don't you come over and just tell me all the bad stuff your husband does? Just come over and shred it up. Just let it all out. No, that's already been spoken to. This is, honey, how are you growing as a wife? What can you do to grow and do better? Where is sin in your life? Where do you struggle? And working in that way. Love him, love them. Older women encourage the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Parenting can be a very fascinating topic because everybody has their own thing. And if you try to tell a young mom how it's supposed to be, you can guarantee she doesn't care. Just about guarantee. It's a fascinating thing how opinionated young people are when it comes to parenting. We, young people, we need counsel and advice and encouragement from generations who have already done this. We need this. Let's invite this. Let's grow in this. Young moms, you need to grow this way. And those who have walked through these battles and these challenges, be free with your encouragement. Initiate and encourage. You know, it's okay. Hang in there. Don't let up. Discipline is not fun for a time, but you're shaping the will. And boy, give it a year of this, and you will see fruit. You will see fruit. Hang in there. Don't let up. Love him, love them. Number two, older women are to teach what is good and train the young women to be self-controlled, pure, and kind. Self-controlled, pure, and kind. Older women to younger woman, hey, don't let that anger out like that. That's not good. You need to restrain that anger. You need to be patient. You need to hold back. Hang in there. You can do it. Self-control. Self-control. I know you're ready to give up, but don't quit. Don't quit. I know you haven't slept with this newborn in like 6 days, but hang in there. Don't let sin. It's crouching at the door. Don't let sin get you. Be self-controlled. Be pure. Older women to younger women. Are you pure in what you watch on TV? How are you battling, younger women, for purity? Who is holding you accountable, younger women, in the kinds of books you read, magazines you feed on, TV shows that you take in? Purity. The topic of purity is given. Older women encourage, train, and work on these things with the younger women. Not the pastor. That's not the pastor's job. It's the older women to younger women. Fascinating connection there. So important. If the older women don't do this for the younger women of the church, what will happen? We need this kind of accountability, encouragement, good questioning, good encouragement, prayer. Older women teach the younger women to be kind. Kindness. Why would he say that? It's a fascinating thing. Kindness. Be kind to your husband, honey. Be kind to him. Be kind to your kids. Don't be harsh with them. Be kind. Older women to younger women. Again, these things are very specific. What grace we have in this list that he's given us. Number three, older women to younger women. Train and encourage the younger women to be working at home. Working at home. Now, why would he say that? Let me just be clear right off the top. I am not saying, nor is the Bible, that women cannot have a job. Okay? Not saying that. Bible's not saying that. But I believe the Bible is saying, Paul is saying to Titus, Titus is saying to older women, Pastor Jeremy is saying to women of the church, there is a priority given to the women of the home. A priority there. To be workers in the home. Workers in the home. This is the Scripture's teaching, and we need to take it for what it says. There is something of opportunity that God has given specifically to the women to shape a home, to work at home. And Paul says to Titus, you need to encourage the older women to teach and train and encourage the younger women to work hard in the home. Work in the home. I call this the high calling of a homemaker. It's a high calling. This is not easy work. I can't stand it when you're in a group and you're going around, well, what do you do? Oh, I do this. What do you do? I'm a doctor. What do you do? Oh, I'm a homemaker. Oh. It's the oh that kills me. But we all do it. It's just natural. Part of our culture, I think. It's starting to change, I've noticed. There's a little more respect now for homemaking. You talk about work. It never ends. It's 24/7. You know, this past week, Jenny and I are both sick. Her job didn't stop. The dryer and the washer and the clothes, and someone's got to go shopping and feed this group. All of that work. Now, it doesn't mean that, man, you don't have a part in this, obviously. We're going to get to that soon. But the high calling of a homemaker, this is one of the things God has uniquely given to the women to shape and work the home, work at home. And older women, you are called to train and teach and equip the younger women of our church in these things. Younger women, you are encouraged to receive this and desire to grow in these things. The high calling of a homemaker. Number four, as if Paul hasn't touched on enough hot buttons already, he says, to round off the list, older women, train and encourage and bring up the younger women to be submissive to their own husbands. Submissive to their own husbands. Wow. Biblical headship and submission are not results of the fall. They are God-given. They are God-established in Genesis 1 and 2. They are created by God good. He put order in the home. Men and women are equal in value. Can we just agree on that? There is no difference in value between men and women. Oh, the abuses, even in the church, on that point. How sad. Men are not worth more than women. Equal in value, different in role. Different in role. When it comes to the home, the scriptures clearly establish the husband as the head of the home, the spiritual leader in the home. And the scriptures clearly call the wife to tuck under that spiritual headship, that leading. Just as the church finds as its head Jesus Christ, and we submit to him as the head of the church. Just as the Son submitted his will to the Father when he obeyed and came to die on the cross. This is consistent through the scriptures. And the idea that this is a result of the fall is very sad to me. It leads to all kinds of terrible thinking and dysfunctional family. Let me give you just three references for these things and let Scripture speak on this topic. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Keyword own. You don't have to submit to all men. To submit to your own husbands as to God himself. That is a massive statement from Scripture. Now, husbands, what are you to do? In case you think that there's nothing there for you, husbands, love your wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself up for her. Husbands, the calling is on you as well. Love your wives as Jesus loved the church. That's a high calling. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Another text. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. As is fitting in the Lord. You see this? This isn't a result of the fall. This is biblical teaching, setting right what went wrong in the fall. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Here we are, Genesis chapter 3. The serpent comes to Eve. He goes after the woman. He tempts the woman. She makes the call. Where's Adam? Is he leading? The spiritual protector, provider? No, he is silent, standing there watching. She leads, takes the bite, hands it to Adam. Adam follows. The role that God had established is flipped upside down. Part of the curse is, to the woman, your desire will be for the man. Desire translates to usurp. You will seek to usurp his position. That's part of the curse. For the man, your response to that is that you will rule over her. You'll be authoritarian, dictatorial, tyrannical. Sin. Now look at how he shapes and seeks to restore what was lost. From Genesis chapter 3, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. He designed it this way. And husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. Lay down your life for her like Christ poured himself out for the church. Lastly, 1 Peter, likewise, wives, be subject or submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. What an incredible thought that is. When they see your respectful or reverent behavior, you see the words coming back to us? Reverent behavior and your pure conduct. Your life is a testimony to the gospel that has changed you. And that is quite specifically instructed then to the fabric of your home. Older women teach the younger women in these things. Now, why is this such an important deal? All of this list, the four things here, why are these things so important? Look in verse 5. That the word of God may not be reviled. The reason, women, you are to do these things, not these things, and to train women to do these things, not these things, is because if we don't, the word of God will be reviled. People will look at our church and they will say, what is that? That's not consistent. That doesn't square with what I see Christians supposed to be about. This word reviled, it's, again, a very strong word. Paul is he's writing very strongly here. It translates blasphemeo, that the word of God may not be blasphemed or dishonored or defamed or given reproach. If we do these things well, the word of God is honored, confirmed, adorned, made glorious. If we do not do these things, we blaspheme the word of God. Wow. The teaching of God's word. Our response this morning, older women, what is God speaking to you? What is he laying on your heart? The Holy Spirit right now is moving and stirring and working. What is he bringing into your mind? Where is he convicting of you in your life, in your sin? What has he brought to mind right now this morning from these verses that you need to confess and repent of? What action is he encouraging you to take as a result of these verses? What's he saying? Younger women, what is God speaking right now through his Spirit to you when it comes from these verses, this list? Where do you need to be convicted of sin and encouraged to repent and grow? Where do you need to be encouraged to initiate and connect more with some of the older women? What areas in your life is God right now putting his finger on and saying, this right here, this needs to change. This is an area I want you to grow in. Be encouraged right here. What's he saying? Look through the list that you've got in front of you and just ask, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to do with this? To not be hearers of the word, Lord, but I want to be a doer. of your word. I don't just want to take the suggestion. I want to obey your word today. Where do you need to grow in obedience to the commands of God's word? Older women, how are you actively training, encouraging the younger women of our church in these things? Are you? Are you involved? What are their names? Okay? Just make a list. Maybe you haven't yet initiated. Maybe you have. Make a list of maybe one or two or three younger women in our church that you can initiate with this week and say, God has commanded me to some things and I want to encourage you in this. Would you be willing to sit down and work on some of these things with me? What can we do? How can I help? Younger women, how are you actively seeking out some of the older women in our church? I've heard from both ends of this in my last church. I heard, well, the younger women never ask us to help. We worked for like a year and a half on a women's mentoring program. We had a book this big on it. It did nothing. All kinds of material, no fruit. Why? Because no one was initiating. The older women were like, well, we're kind of not sure if they want our help. And the younger women were like, well, we don't know if they want to help. And so at the end of the day, someone's got to just initiate. Hey, could you mentor me? I respect you. Would you be willing to just walk with me, encourage me, train me, help me? Maybe it's just stuff like cooking. Teach me how to cook. Could you do that? Could you teach me how to, you know, walk through this issue I'm having with my son? This is a parenting challenge. Young women, initiate, encourage, invite this. Look around. This is given to the church. We're a church. So most likely there's people in this room who can benefit from this. Who do you need to talk to this morning? Who do you need to meet with this week? Let's go get lunch. How about coffee? Let me come over. Something of that nature. And men, how are you actively encouraging your wife as she grows in these areas? Are you actively encouraging your wife, your daughter, in these things? Are you fulfilling the command that is given to you as the head of the home to spiritually shape and influence and grow your wife and your children? Let's pray. Oh Lord, your commands to us are quite specific here, and we're grateful for them, but boy, they're convicting. Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's true and it's right and it's the best. And Lord, we come this morning in need of obedience. We want to honor what we have been commanded to do here. And I pray for the women in this room that there would be just a real sense of this would be a new chapter for our church, where the women would gather together in a new way and work and encourage one another in such a way that we would bring honor to your word. Oh Lord, we want to be a church that lives in accord with sound doctrine, that our lives, whether the older men or younger, and older women or younger, we would literally adorn and dress the gospel with beautiful clothes, so that the people who look in our church, who come in contact with us, would say, there's something unique happening there. There's marriages there that stand out from this world. There's anniversaries happening with high numbers. And they're saying things like, it's God's grace that held us together. And the mentoring influence of the generation that preceded us. Their wisdom has helped us immensely. Oh Lord, make us a strong church in these things. Convict us of our sin. Encourage us where we need to grow. As we begin, Father, now to gather to your table to share in the Lord's Supper together, we are reminded that none of this applies if it weren't for Jesus. If we're not your children, then this is hopeless. This is mere window dressing. The root issue, Father, is Jesus Lord of our life? Do we really want to honor and obey Him? Have we surrendered our will to His? We're reminded and thankful of the sacrifice He's given us. So we gather this morning, Lord, at the table to bring glory to You and remind ourselves of this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.